Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Markets.
You are listening to Bloomberg Markets. Carol Masser along with Corey Johnson. We are live from NJIT, New Jersey Institute of Technology's Eberhard Hall in Newark, New Jersey. Coming up, Corey, we're going to talk a little bit about biotech because we've gotten a lot of earnings over the last week from the sector.
And some interesting trends showing up in the way that what drugs are selling, what drugs aren't across a bunch of different companies. We'll get to that. But first, let's get the latest in business news headlines from Charlie Bella.
All right. Thank you very much, Corey Johnson. Thank you, Carol Masser. The Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ. All higher. NASDAQ on track for a record 28 minutes to go ahead of the closing bell. And this update is brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 10 to 16% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at NRIA.net. Stocks advance toward records on optimism from earnings reports and a deal by Congress to avert a government shutdown. Bloomberg Television and Radio sat down with U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. He touched on a number of topics, including easing financial regulations.
We've had hundreds of people come in. We've reached out to big banks, small banks, finance companies, all different types of areas of the economy that impact credit. And we are determined to make sure we have proper regulation so that we don't put taxpayers at risk, but we also don't have overlapping regulation and we have clarity so banks and insurance companies know what they can do.
The S&P 500 index up 8 to 2392, up 4-tenths of 1%. Dow Industrials up 13 to 2,953, up 1-tenth of 1%. NASDAQ up 50, a gain of 8-tenths of 1%. The 10-year up down 10.30 seconds. The yield there 2.32%. We have got gold lower by 10.20 the ounce to 12.58, a drop of 8-tenths of 1%. West Texas Intermediate crude lower by 57 cents a barrel to 48.76, a drop there of 1.2%. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
All right, Charlie Pellett, thank you so much. We are counting you down to the closing bell just about 27 minutes away. It is brought to you by Upside. The smart new way to buy travel is Upside.com. Save money and get a free gift card every trip. Use code BUSINESS, and you're guaranteed at least a $100 gift card your first time using Upside.com. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. This is Bloomberg Radio.
If you don't want me to be cold as ice, dreaming nice.
Well, the drug companies are treating us in very different ways. Brian Skorney joins us right now as a biotech and pharma analyst with Baird. And we've had a bunch of earnings of Vertex, Amgen, a bunch of others. And I wonder, just give us a kind of baseline. How are these companies doing going into this last year? And then is there any kind of one big trend we can find from all these companies that reported in the last week or so?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me, guys. So, you know, I'd say we're most of the way through large cap earnings now. And you know, the big theme in the sector and the concern in the sector has obviously been drug pricing. And numerous companies have really stated that they've been seeing some additional pricing pressures. And several companies are even taking it upon themselves to not be as aggressive about taking price increases or pricing more in line with the current market for new branded products. So, you know, I think people are really looking for, you know, what sort of impact this year we see from pricing pressures. And, you know, I guess I would say what's been encouraging from last week for the most part is that the companies have all mostly beaten. You know, I don't think anyone's really smashed numbers that have been very impressive, but on the margins, pretty much across the board, we've seen incremental beats on revenue and EPS, you know, with one or two one-offs that maybe are on the disappointing side. So, you know, I think that's been pretty good. First quarter for pharmaceuticals, traditionally, because of the way negotiations with insurers go, wind up being a little weak relative to full year. So I think what we saw last week was a pretty solid start to earnings for the biopharma sector as a whole.
Biopharma, if I look at the S&P Spider, S&P Biotech ETF, it's up about 22% this year. So what we saw from the likes of Celgene, Amgen, Sarepta, Vertex, does that optimism, do we see it appropriately in the run-up that we've seen in those shares?
I'm a bit of a skeptic in terms of the run the sector has had. You know, I don't think the sector is in a necessarily as bad a place as some of the headline rhetoric around drug pricing has gone. But, you know, I also don't see that across the board there makes a lot of sense for that type of move for the sector. It is a sector that has seen a lot of maturity over the last couple of years. These major product launches have sort of peaked out, and, you know, now we're seeing more companies, whether it's Amgen or Biogen or even Celgene, really making or beating numbers on OPEX. So really just kind of taking R&D or SG&A down incrementally to kind of make the numbers. No one's really blowing out numbers on top-line revenue. Amgen, which is probably the biggest disappointment last week, while they wound up making numbers on a bottom line, they saw a significant miss on Enbrel, which is their largest drug franchise, came in
Let me ask you about that. So you had both Amgen and Celgene have got dermatological drugs in Enbrel and Otezla, and I wonder if there's a trend there that we might be able to sort of see some problem there with either doctors less willing to write those scripts or pullback by the insurers.
So I think it's severalfold. I think when you kind of think of the area that Enbrel and Otezla are competing for, there are a large number of products, and these are drugs which really, across the board in this therapeutic area, have taken very, very significant price increases over the last 10, 15, 20 years. So I don't think it's that surprising that we're seeing a little more pressure on some of these products to take a net price reductions or flat net price increases on the year to really maintain or try to increase their positions on formulary. Interesting, Enbrel's top competition, Humira, which is sold by AbbVie, actually did quite well this quarter, so I think it's a little perplexing that Enbrel came in so far below expectations on what was a decline in overall volume and a disappointment in price when Humira seemed to do quite well. So, you know, I think we're still trying to figure out how this rheumatoid arthritis dermatological landscape is going to evolve in an era where priors have been, you know, quite aggressive over the last year or so.
We're talking with Brian Skorney, biotech and pharma analyst over at Baird on the phone in New York. We just got about 40 seconds left here. Sarepta, we saw it soar last week after the sudden resignation of its CEO. There's a lot of speculation that maybe there's going to be a buyer for the company. What's your take on that? What's your call here?
Yeah, well, Carol, you know, I mean, Sarepta is my top pick for the year in the mid-cap space. I love the name. And, you know, the street will speculate when any sort of major change like this happens. I think it's a good to take out. I think a pharma company with the appropriate level of risk tolerance, I think there's massive upside and pretty little downside for a pharmaceutical company to acquire the company. Ed leaving, I don't necessarily think that's a read-through for the company being in play. We actually have
I just got 10 seconds here. So it could go either way, yes or no?
I mean, I think it'll be acquired. I don't think there's a signal that it's in play, though. I'd be surprised if it was.
Brian, great to get some time with you. Brian Skorney, he's biotech and pharma analyst at Baird, joining us on the phone to talk about the biotech pharma space. You are listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Let's go look at the world of national news headlines with Bloomberg News anchor Adrian Mitchell in our 99.1 studios in our nation's capital.
Thanks, Corey. The president tells Bloomberg he is open to negotiations with North Korea's president if the conditions are right.
If it's under the right circumstances. But I would do that.
President Trump, in an interview with Bloomberg News, also said he's considering breaking up the big Wall Street banks. The president says there are some people that want to go back to the old system, so we're going to look at it. He also says he's open to a higher gas tax to fund infrastructure projects. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says tax and regulatory reform and better trade deals will help lead to 3% U.S. economic growth within 3 years. He says a healthier job market, rising stock prices, and the highest consumer sentiment in 16 years support that optimistic view. Mnuchin also spoke with Bloomberg at a conference in Los Angeles, and he says the budget deal that keeps the government running through September is a good thing, even though it doesn't include money for the border wall and some of the president's other priorities.
I think it was important to have an interim budget that kept the government open, and then we'll focus on what we want the real budget to be for next year.
This May Day, there have been workers' protests in the nation's capital and around the globe. And ahead of Sunday's election in France, far-right candidate Marine Le Pen trails centrist Emmanuel Macron in the latest poll, 61-39%. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Adrienne Mitchell.